We've been hearing that soccer is the next big thing in the United States for decades. Well, up to this point, it hasn't exactly come to fruition, but I think it's pretty undeniable right now that soccer has grown so much in this country in the last few years. And with that has come a whole lot of new fans that have a fresh look on this sport in this country. And with the World Cup on the horizon, things are absolutely exploding. Now, to explore what it's going to take to push soccer over that last hill to really get it into the mainstream of sports in the United States, I brought on a man who I think is perfect for this. He is a YouTuber with 80,000 subscribers. He is a self-proclaimed NBA fan that recently started making soccer videos and I think really started to fall in love with this sport. And is a new fan. He is the Bronco. The Bronco, thank you for coming on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I've been watching your videos. They've kind of been going through the U.S. men's national team circles, especially some of your reaction videos to like the USA versus Mexico game and some of the live games that you've been to just because of your energy. And, you know, your videos are really popular. You do a great job with your reactions. But I think it's your perspective as a brand new fan to this sport and sort of the fresh eyes that you bring to it. I mean, seeing videos where you're reacting to like older U.S. soccer games and, you know, you don't exactly know who like Michael Bradley is or something like that. It's so cool to see such a new fan. But I want to get to the start. So like before you really started making videos about soccer, what was your experience with soccer?
Okay, so before that, I actually played soccer when I was like 4 or 5 years old. But then, you know, just growing up, like people in my community and just maybe across the United States in general, a lot of people just drop it to play basketball and American football and stuff like that. That's like one of the most, well, obviously the most popular sports in the United States. So after that, I just completely scrapped it. I didn't watch it. Like I explained, like before the off camera, I didn't see no highlights. Like SportsCenter don't post any highlights, anything like that. The Instagram page, I was just completely blind. I didn't know nothing about the whole other side over there.
You know, yeah, they say, that's one of the.
They say soccer the most important sport in the world. I ain't really put too much thought into that when they said it. But after I reacted to like how big it is over there, like overseas, you know, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, you bring up some really great points. I mean, everybody does play soccer whenever they're kids in the United States. It's like something just everybody does. But at a certain point, people drop it and it isn't on TV. It isn't on SportsCenter. It isn't, you know, ESPN doesn't cover it as much on their YouTube channel or their Instagram channel. So you do have to go elsewhere to find it, which is very frustrating about the growth of the sport. But looking at your YouTube channel, you were making like MMA reaction videos. And then one day you decided to make a soccer video. Tell me about how that came about.
Okay, so I first started doing reaction videos like around COVID when COVID first hit in 2020. I was just doing like MMA and boxing, because I'm a huge MMA and boxing fan. And I also did basketball, obviously, as you see in my title, NBA fan reacts and whatnot. And then somebody in my comments, they was like, react to a Lionel Messi video. I think it was like Lionel Messi best skills or something like that. And I reacted to that and I was like, damn, I didn't know they get down like that. Like the skills that I was seeing and he was breaking people's ankles. Like I love ankle breakers in basketball. So to see ankle breakers in soccer, I was like, oh, okay, that's nice right here. So after that, they kept asking. They were like, okay, now react to this, now react to this, now react to this. And I started reacting and learning, and that's how it came about.
So it started with, I think a lot of people found their love for soccer kind of watching like Ronaldo and Messi, like YouTube videos, like especially like people my age, like whenever YouTube was kind of like fresh, like that was one of the big things that people did, man. So like, and you had like no concept of like Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, Real Madrid, Barcelona. Did you know about these teams and these places and how people like supported these clubs or was that all fresh? Our partners at BetOnline continue to be your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's basketball championship finals, the NHL hockey conference finals, Major League Baseball, and the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
Okay, so I didn't know about the support system, but I knew that Lionel Messi and Cristiano was like the two biggest stars. Like I knew of them. I knew they had like the most Instagram followers, like out of everybody. That's what made me realize how big they were when people said that like Lionel had like 100 million more than LeBron or something like that. And I'd be like, no, he don't. And then I go check Instagram and I'm like, dang, he do. So they made me realize how big it was. And I did know of Barcelona and Real Madrid, you know, those like the two biggest clubs almost. And I actually got a funny story because like in 2018 when the World Cup was happening, I was just flipping through the channel and then it was a game, Croatia and Nigeria. I had watched that game. And then I seen Luka Modric. That's how I found out about Luka Modric. Like, I knew who Luka Modric was before I knew who Neymar was, just to add scope in it. And he was just going off against Nigeria, and Nigeria had a dude named Musa or something like that. And those was, like, the only two dudes that I really knew outside of Lionel and Cristiano before I started reacting to football.
So I mean, the World Cup brings so many people in, and you picked a good game because Luka Modric was like on top of the world in that tournament, and Nigeria had some of the best jerseys in World Cup history in that tournament. They always have great jerseys. But anyway, yeah, so you started watching these videos, and like slowly did people were asking for more, or did you start like looking up more soccer at that point? How did it kind of grow for you?
People was asking for more. That was like, all right, react to Cristiano now, react to Neymar, react to Mbappe, react to all the big stars and stuff like that. And after I reacted to the big stars, then that was like, now you got to start reacting to games and stuff like that.
And you mentioned that you really like seeing people get crossed up in basketball, and it was kind of similar. Do you find similarities between basketball and soccer, or maybe soccer and any other American sports?
Not really. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's different. It's completely different in my eyes anyway. Cause you know, soccer is like straightforward, 45 minutes, no breaks. It's just the whole pacing and everything, especially compared to the NFL and whatnot. Like the pacing is different. It's like teamwork is more involved when it comes to soccer compared to basketball or NFL. Cause in basketball, one person can do it to a certain extent. Like, my fans used to get mad at me when I used to be like when this team blew a lead and say Messi was on that team. And I'll be like, dang, Messi, you went out like that? And the fans would be on my head. Like, one person can't change the outcome that much. You know, they got teammates and then the team, you know, it's just stuff like that. So it's hard for me to find like specific, like tangible similarities. But yeah, I don't know.
So now that you're kind of into it a little bit more, are you seeing more of it? Do you think that it's kind of growing, at least in your purview within the United States?
Oh, definitely in the United States. Yeah, I see my Instagram. Actually, the Sports Center and Bleacher Report pages actually started posting about it more. Like when we beat Mexico in the I think it was the Gold Cup. Or whenever Chris
beat him in the Gold Cup, we beat him in the Nations League, we beat him in the World Cup qualifying.
Whenever Chris did hit that penalty kick, and then he system like Sportsman post that on their page, like that was cold blooded right there. And then instead of the comments, usually the comments on soccer posts will be like not a real sport and whatnot. But now comments when it comes to like the Euro 2020 winners or Champions League winners is just people talking about the game and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, so you bring up Mexico, and one of the big differences between like soccer and especially like international soccer and a lot of American sports is we get this like international thing. We get to have the U.S. men's national team play.
Yeah.
We don't really get that really in basketball outside of the Olympics or in the NFL at all or anything else. And whenever it comes to the U.S., I'm assuming you didn't really know much about the U.S. national team coming in. Whenever you first started finding out about this kind of USA-Mexico rivalry, tell me about your experience with that.
Man, in middle school, I live in Texas, so it's a lot of Hispanics. So Hispanics will always come like with their Mexico jerseys or be talking about soccer or stuff like that. And with the Liga MX, you know, they got to I actually thought Mexico was like the leaders in soccer. Like I thought they won the World Cup every year just because that's all I was exposed to. I thought they Mexico breeded the coldest players in soccer. I thought it was their sport. I'm just thinking like they the main characters basically until I discovered the whole other side in Europe, stuff like that. All right. But so, you know, in the Liga MX, you got teams called, you got America and Chivas. the little two rivalry right there. So the Hispanics, my Hispanic friends will always come to school, talk about the Chivas and America's game. And I also always be like, America go beat y'all, America go beat y'all. And they used to be like, you know, it's not the USA America, right? It's an actual like Mexican team. So I always just be competitive like that. And when it come to USA, Mexico, I know Mexico used to always beat us a lot, majority of the time. So that's what makes it so sweet, the fact that we done beat them like three times in a row. Basically.
It sounds like you got to watch that that Nations League final, the one where Christian hit the penalty and he shushed. And that was one of the most insane soccer games that I've ever seen. Was that your first USA game that you watched, or did you watch many before that?
It actually, now that I think about it, it actually probably was my first game. And I was definitely talking a lot of trash after that. And that's what set it up. That's a game to watch as your first like USA soccer game. That's a game to watch. For something like that to happen in it.
And there's a lot of really young, exciting players on this U.S. men's national team. Guys like Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, Sergiño Dest, Gio Reyna. We got to see a lot of those guys on that game and throughout World Cup qualifying. What do you think that guys like that can do to bring in more maybe like mainstream U.S. sports fans that aren't really soccer fans?
You just got to come in with that swag. That's the main thing that I talk about. Like, you need polarizing figures to try and bring eyes to the sport. You know, like NBA, you got LeBron and Steph Curry and stuff like that. NFL, you had Joe Burrow. He was this dude who came in, new dude with the chains. And I'm not saying you got to wear like a lot of jewelry, but like, you just got to be captivating. If that makes sense. Like Christian, after he hit that shot and he hit the shots, and then they took the picture and it's all across social media, USA. Well, that was a Dos Acero, right?
That one was not, no.
Okay, it wasn't. Okay. But yeah, he hit the shots. That's like a legendary photo right there. And it's it makes it infamous. You see it on social media and you're like, oh, who is this dude? Maybe I want to come and tune in and watch this dude, you know? It's just like the young players. It's a bright future. You got all these good young players, and you know the future is bright.
Have you been following some of those guys, Christian, Weston, Tyler, those players?
Yeah. Christian, Weston, Timothy Weah. Timothy Weah actually probably my favorite. Nah, Weston McKinney is my favorite because he hometown boy, because I'm from Dallas area. He from the Dallas area. You know, he went through the FC Dallas Academy and whatnot. So I really be riding with Weston because I like his aggressiveness, and he like an enforcer out there. Like, he, you know. So,
yeah, Weston is one of the most likable soccer players in the national team in recent memory. And you are from Dallas, and I've seen that you've gone to some FC Dallas games as well. Mm-hmm. MLS is like this whole different conversation whenever it comes to American soccer. Even among soccer fans in this country, it's kind of a polarizing thing. What has your experience been going to MLS games and following FC Dallas?
The game, it's funny because the games I've been to has actually been good. Like the first game I went to, I think we played the Colorado Rapids, and Brandon Cervania had hit like a real super deep like goal. I think we won that like it was a lot of goals, put it like that. Like when I went to the game, I was like, I hope it don't be 0-0. You know, I hope it don't be 0-0. But I think that game ended up like 3-1 or something like that. So for my first game to go there and it be 3-1, and I had a lot of fun. I like the atmosphere and whatnot. Even though, you know, you got my subscribers, they a lot of them Europeans. They like, what is this atmosphere? You know, everybody not cheering. They always do that, and it be getting on my nerves. So next time I go to the game, I'm gonna definitely be in the supporter section, see how that is, and make a video about that. And oh, also when we played Houston Dynamo, there was a derby game, the Texas Derby as they call it. So Houston actually was up 1-0, and then we didn't score till like the 90th minute. And then, so we tied it up right at the 90th minute, and then we actually ended up winning the game like 2 minutes later in extra time. So that was a real live experience to be a part of right there too.
That's awesome, man. So I don't know if you've been to NFL games or NBA games or college, whatever. What is kind of the differences in atmosphere and like game day experience between that and what you experienced at the FC Dallas games?
So with FC Dallas, it's like, well, with soccer in general, when it comes to like the supporter section and stuff, you know, they singing the whole game, chanting the whole game. Well, I know FC Dallas isn't really that big, like compared to the Atlanta, you know, Atlanta United against their crowd. But it's just really the difference is just like chanting all game and, you know, rooting on your team like that, singing songs and stuff. Because, you know, in NBA and in NFL, they don't really be singing besides, you know, just saying defense and stuff like that. But college-wise, I went to Texas A&M. Them games, that's different. Like Texas A&M, the crowd is rowdy. You know, we be chanting through the whole games. We got the Yale leaders, and we learn all the different chants and stuff like that. So at Texas A&M with college football, that's like the closest I got to like a soccer atmosphere. But it was more rowdy than FC Dallas. But it's just because FC Dallas don't have that like super big fan base like that. So
yeah, Texas A&M is one of those schools and has one of those atmospheres that is similar to some of these like European soccer stadiums where it's just intense all game. So that's, you're pretty lucky to been able to go there. What about, you actually attended the USA versus Grenada game in Austin. That was your first U.S. men's national team game in person, I'm assuming. What was it like seeing the national team up close, and what made you decide to actually go to that game?
Man, it felt good to be there. I sat there right on the 50. I was like real close and everything. I went all the way up there. I was like right on the 50 to see all these players in person. And then the supporter section was like right there. But the thing, I low key was kind of salty. I'm like, damn, I want to be over there in the supporter section, like just being there cheering and like the whole time. Cause it's like the supporter section was sitting there like cheering the whole time while everybody else like towards the 50 was just like sitting on their hands, you know, not chanting and stuff like that. So, but in terms of the game, that was a great game. You know, my boy Jesus Ferreira, FC Dallas product, you know, he went off that game. But the reason that you said why I went to it.
Why'd you decide to go to that game?
Oh, because it was in Texas, in Austin. So any game that's in Texas, I'm going to try to go. Like the, I know Man City in America coming in Houston. So I'm going to try to go to that. And I'm also go to the Barcelona Juventus at the Cotton Bowl because that's like right here. So I'm trying to go to any game that I can to try and, you know, experience as most as I can.
Well, the big thing that's on the horizon is the World Cup. I mean, November of 2022, the U.S. is going to be heading to Qatar. You mentioned that you kind of caught some of the World Cup in 2018, whenever you caught some of the Croatia game. But this one, I think you're going in as like an actual soccer fan. What are your kind of expectations and what are you looking forward to with this World Cup?
Man, when it comes to expectations, I want us to make it out the group stage, at least make it to the elimination stages. That's what I want them to do. Just so I can just talk back to my fans, talk that trash. And, you know, I'm a homer. I root for everything where I'm from. Like, I root for all Dallas teams, the Cowboys, Rangers, whatever. And when it comes to soccer, a lot of people just do straight. Like, even it's some Americans out there that just follow straight European teams and whatnot and national team. So I'm all USA, baby. That's what it is. And I'm a USA homer, and I'm going to talk trash whenever. Like, I made a video saying that USA go get 3 points off England. That's just how I'm feeling.
Everybody thinks that we're going to beat England, man. We just have this thing in the United States that we always feel like we could beat England. And if you're an FC Dallas fan, I mean, that's the team to be a fan of, because you've got Weston McKennie, Chris Richards.
Pepe,
Jesus Ferreira, Reggie Cannon. I mean, like half the team has Paul Areola, has FC Dallas ties. If he actually makes it, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
Pepe so, too.
so I think the last part to kind of just bring it around is with the World Cup coming in and all your experience, what do you think that the world, what kind of impact do you think that the World Cup is going to have on fan culture in the United States? Do you think there's more people out there like you that are that are going to become fans of the sport through more exposure?
Definitely, especially if we make the knockout stages. And if we beat England, I feel like if we beat England, that will like set it off for real. That's like turning a new page, beating a national team that's as stout as England is. I feel like if we beat them, that will turn a new page, get a lot of new exposure. If we make the knockout rounds, a lot of new exposure, especially if we end up winning a game in the knockout rounds too. It's like, I feel like it would explode, man. Especially because we're a young team too. So,
That's a pretty high bar, man. Winning a knockout game, would make you, there's only eight teams that get to do that. So, get to the quarterfinal, that's pretty difficult. But the U.S. has fared well against England in the World Cup in the past. I mean, last time they played, they tied them. It took a pretty crazy Clint Dempsey goal. Mm-hmm. I, I feel like we had another good result against England that I can't remember right now off the top of my head. But yeah, the expectations are high. What about not just the United States, but are there other players and teams that you're kind of following heading into the World Cup?
The games that I'm going to watch, basically, well, of course, France. I'm going to watch France games. Basically, all the big countries with all the main characters, if you put it like that. All the top tier countries, basically.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm excited about it as well. You know, France, Germany, England, Brazil is just so, always so much fun to watch. And Argentina with Messi looking like he's going for his last run is going to be super exciting. DeBrocco, I want to thank you for coming on. This has been a lot of fun. It's always one of the main goals with this channel and with this community is getting more fans into the sport and kind of growing it and getting the opportunity to kind of talk to you and kind of seeing the sport from like an outsider's eyes and fresh eyes has been a really cool experience. So I appreciate you for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, man. I had a good time.
Guys, thank you so much for watching. If you're new to the channel, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, all that good stuff. On behalf of DeBrocco, my name is Sam, and this is The Yank Report brought to you by Bet Online.